Always good to us when he comes down to North Carolina, God's country, the right side. And so, you know, every year we look for something to be a blessing back. And I thought it would be fitting. I got a black pastor friend. Well, he's a black pastor in Winston-Salem. And he gave us a bunch of stuff. And I thought, man, that's perfect. That's the Moderator of the Year Award. And so I'd like to present that to Brother McVeigh at this time. Amen. Amen. He's all right, brother. Praise the Lord.
I hope they fit.
Yeah, me too.
I may not retire from moderating now.
You're not in Kansas anymore.
Oh. Be careful. Be careful on that car.
Oh, no. It's hit me all of a sudden. I want to thank God for saving me. Boy, it just came on me, brother.
That's right.
Thank you, brother.
God bless you, brother.
You are too kind to me.
You are
too kind to me.
Man.
It's no place like home, brother.
How do you feel? Jeremiah chapter 4, please.
What is that, my baby?
I'm going to say some things and just from my way of thinking that Brother McVeigh is probably the worst moderator I've ever seen in my life.
Hey, that's not true.
I almost got happy last night because I thought him and his pastor was going to fight.
He's not lying.
I said, praise God, it's worth the trip. They'll fight. I'll drive back next week if they'll have round two. I'd like to see a gorilla and a walrus go at it. No. Y'all figure out which one's which. I can't fight, so I love to watch other people. I love to promote it. And I tried to. These girls take such good care at our church of Carl that I tried to get the husband of the church to take him outside and get it straight why they're better to him than they are their own husband. Their husband comes to church with wrinkled clothes on and dirty. He comes looking like a king. And, he's not even married. I'm like, wow. Brother McVeigh's probably, I'm just agreeing with him, okay? He's probably one of the worst moderators I've ever known.
Not now, buddy.
No more flags. You got some moxie, brother. I promise you that. I sit back there, you know, because I'm a preacher and I know everything, and I'm going, what the world is he doing? Why did he call that guy up? Why didn't he call me up? I'm always ready to preach, boys, until they put this thing on my head. Why are you having them girls testify? They can't even talk right. Peter can't stop shaking. I kept wanting to sing Elvis. Uh-huh.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, my name's Peter.
I sitting there watching him shake. We got in the car going down the road. My wife said, you see Peter shaking? I said, honey, everybody seen Peter shaking. A whole lot of shaking going on. And got in the car last night and going down the road, as wrong as Brother McVeigh does everything, and it's the most backwards meeting that I've ever been in, and my wife said God met with us.
Amen.
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 I said, yes, ma'am, he did. I wouldn't want a good moderator. I wouldn't want a different preacher. I wouldn't want a different service. I seen some of my kids on this altar till 11:30 last night. You think I'm going to change a thing? I'm not going to change a thing. I'm glad the girls testified. Amen. Amen. I'm glad Brother Peter shook all over the place. Amen. I'm glad Timmy got a little taste of the glory last night in that song. Amen. Amen. I like it. And boy, I watched some of these children get up off this altar, and the little area was soaked with snot and tears. And I thought,
amen.
I don't want a better moderator. I don't want a better service. I don't want the things done different. Just let it be. Amen. Just leave God alone. Amen. If we learn how to do these things, we'll probably get God out of it. If we learn how to moderate like, you know, man moderates, God probably just leaves. So it's better just to depend on him and let God have it and go ahead and just make a fool out of yourself. Amen. I mean, you know, that's right. Praise God. We know how stupid we are. Ain't no need trying to put on the Ritz. So I don't know. You know, there again, Brother John preaches, and, you know, I've been watching college baseball and them boys hitting it almost 500 feet, and Brother John got up and hit one 700 feet. Now they're going to come put this thing on my head, and I'm going to lay it down a bunt. Just a little bunt. Jeremiah, thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. I'll remember that when I die. I'll come back, and I'm going to haunt y'all. I'm telling you, I'm coming back, and I'm... When I die, I'm coming back and I'm wetting people's beds. I ain't playing, man. I'm going to haunt people. I'm going to get their youngins and grand youngins whippings. I like it. Jeremiah chapter 4, the Bible says this in verse 1. It says, if thou wilt return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. And if thou wilt put away thine abominations out of my sight, then shalt thou not remove. Thou shalt swear the Lord liveth in truth and judgment and righteousness, and the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and of Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskins of your heart, ye men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem. Lest my fury come forth like fire and burn that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Declare ye in Judah and publish in Jerusalem and say, blow ye the trumpet in the land. Cry, gather together and say, assemble yourselves. Let us go into the defense cities and set up the standard towards Zion. Retire, stay not, for I will bring evil from the north and a great destruction. The lion has come up from his thicket, and the destroyer of the Gentiles is on his way. He has gone forth from his place to make the land desolate, and the city shall be laid waste without an inhabitant. For this, gird you with sackcloth, lament and howl. For the fierce anger of the Lord is not turned back from us. Go with me, if you will, in the book of Job real quick. Job chapter 2. The Bible says in verse 1, again, there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord. And Satan came also among them to present himself before the Lord. And the Lord said unto Satan, from whence comest thou? And Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth and from walking up and down in it. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8, says to be sober and to be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, As a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. In the book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, there was a fellow by the name of Naboth that had a vineyard, and it was over by the king's place, Ahab, and Ahab wanted the vineyard, and Naboth wouldn't let him have it. He said, I can't let you have it because it's something that my father gave me, and I don't want you to have it. Ahab, being the wicked king that he was, ended up killing Naboth and taking the vineyard anyway. And I thought about these passages of scriptures, and I thought, the lion is out to destroy us. Yes. Yeah. I appreciate everything that I've heard this week. I really do. I thank God, man. I appreciate it. And it just seems like every message is stirred in my heart. And I heard the Sunday school. I didn't know how things operate, and I just clicked on social media and seen Brother Knickerbocker, and I told my wife, I said, we got to go. I said, it's time to go to church. Somebody's in the pulpit. And so we got down, and I heard him talking about those tools. And I mean, everything's just been a blessing to me. And it seems like I got to be the monkey wrench. You know, I got to, and I sit and argue with the Lord, and I wrestle with him. And I don't want to preach some of the stuff that the Lord has me to preach. And I think God raised me to be a jerk from the time I was a youngin'. There ain't no need in changing now. I'm 56 years old, so. But just like Naboth, ladies and gentlemen, we too have inherited some things that the enemy's trying to destroy. And I want you to understand that our enemy is not on his way, but he's already here. He's not coming, he's come. He's not going to try to destroy our stuff. He's actually destroying our stuff. Amen. He's already hard at work in our day-to-day life. And if he can't get to you today or in the day, I promise you, he'll get to you at night. I have to pray that God guards my subconscious even at night. Say, why, preacher? Because I, as a preacher, as a saved man, as a God-called preacher, if God don't guard my mind during the night, my subconscious, I'll have some of the wickedest, vilest, evilest dreams that a person can have. And man, they're torturous, and they haunt you, and they just like a plague over your mind. And I have to beg God, to gird my mind, because I've walked with you today. And even though I pillow my head tonight, Lord, and I'll drop my guard, the enemy will attack my subconscious and get to me any way that he can. And I don't have time to cover all the things that Satan's attacking, but I do want to cover just a few things that's important to me. John chapter 4, verse 19, the Bible said, verse 19, the Bible says, the woman said unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. And Jesus said unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet in Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I want you to understand that I'm not going to say anything new. But I think that it's important that you understand the devil is out to destroy our worship. I find it kind of amazing. I'm trying my best not to let my blood pressure blow up my head. But I find it kind of amazing that the moderator does get up and say, let's worship. And we can do that in a minute or two. I'm talking about in a good meeting. We can worship God in a minute or two. And that's enough. Look at me real good, my God-given eyeballs. That's not enough, you understand? It's not enough to worship him for 1 minute. It's not enough to worship him for 5 minutes. I mean, son, we need to be taken up of Him, you understand? I mean, we need to be consumed with God. What's wrong with going to work with God on you, amen? What's wrong with riding down the road with God on you? What's wrong with walking in the house with God on you? Hey, mom, what's wrong, praise God, with instead of bickering and griping, washing them dishes in the glory of God? What's wrong with washing them clothes instead of complaining about it? Just rejoice in the Lord and be taken up of Him and wash the clothes in the glory of God. I tell you, friend, He's destroying our worship.
Yes, sir.
Sure He is. You know, it's okay to ride down the road and get in the glory.
Amen.
It's okay to go to work and be in the glory.
Amen.
I had one of my church folks call me the other day, and he said, oh, Pastor, he was on the phone. He was rejoicing. He said, man, come to work this morning. Got to singing them old songs and just worshiped Him. Good. On the job. I said, praise God, what a double whammy. He got to worship God and get paid for it.
Hey,
you just make sure you tithe real good, or I'm going to tell you, boss, you'll take up a special offering. Here's what I know. Most people don't worship at home.
Right.
I'm not no sucker. I might look like one, might act like one, but I'm not one. Amen. Amen. Most people don't worship at home. I would venture to say, Brother Zach, there's a handful of people in this place today that really worship Him in spirit and in truth. Preacher, how can you be such a jerk? How can you be so dogmatic? Because I done read that old book, praise God. And this is what that book said. For my Father, which seeth in secret. Amen, son. Amen. That book will tell on you. And when He sees you in secret, He'll reward you in the open. Amen. You say, preacher, what's that got to do with anything? I tell you, friend, when God sees you down at the house worshiping Him, you don't have to come to church and pump it up. You don't have to have no pride. You don't have to have no special singing. Don't nobody have to hit your favorite verse. I'm telling you, there'll be a well springing up. Praise God. God get bigger than you. And the next thing you mouth, you'll know your mouth will fly open. And the glory of God will come out. Your hands will fly up. And worship. What just happened on you?
Amen.
Just happens. Preacher, I'm not that kind of person. Oh, I know that. I know that. I know you're bigger than God. What's happened is the lion's got a hold of you. The lion's got a hold of you. The lion has destroyed your worship. And you're the one that's missing out with God.
That's right.
There ain't nothing like worship in the secret place. Nothing. Nothing will ever take the place of worship in the secret place. And I believe in the effects of worship. I believe that people get saved because of worship. I believe bills get paid because of worship. I believe diseases are healed as an effect of worship. And the lion is out to destroy our worship.
Right, sir. Good.
Now, I like to tell the Baptists, because I've been one all my life, and I've been an independent, fundamental Baptist all my life. And because the independent fundamentals are a bunch of perverts and a bunch of crooks and a bunch of thugs, I'm not changing what I am.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. Yeah. I am what I am by the grace of God.
Yes, sir.
I'm not going to let them change me by the grace of God. I'm just going to stand strong for the Lord. Amen. And in the power of His might. Amen. I got an uncle teaches me a few things. He said, I just go independent politically. He said, I go independent. And he said, you probably remember better than me. He said, that way, you know, I can run my mouth about the Democrats and get by with it. He said, I can turn around and run my mouth about the Republicans and get by with it.
Right.
Man. And he thought Donald Trump was going to be the savior of the world.
Right.
He wasn't the savior of the world. Are you worshiping at home? Don't answer that. I can tell by your worship here.
Amen.
You can't put on worship. You can't come here and fake it. Worship is an overflow of that secret place.
Right. Sure.
That's where it's birthed right there. Brother Vernon, where do you get most of your orders from? I get most of my orders from the secret place.
Amen. Amen. Come on.
That's right. Spending time along with Him. Boy, that wonderful Jesus that man of God was talking about.
Yeah.
I mean, He's so wonderful, sister, that I'd like to be able to spend some time alone with Him and just adore Him. Amen. I like to make much of it. You say, preacher, what is that worship? Just being overtaken by Him.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just being the heart, being occupied with Him. I ain't worried about cancer. I'm not throwing off on it. I'm not worried about your runny nose. Everybody has a prayer request. Pray for my onions. Pray for my bunions. Pray for my hemorrhoids. Pray for what? I tell you what I'm praying for. I'm praying you get in the Holy Ghost and you have to get beside yourself and you just worship Him. Worship Him. Worship Him in spirit and in truth. It'll help your bunions, amen.
Yeah.
Brother J. Glass, one of my heroes in the faith, just love old Brother J. and his sister, wife, and boy, just to be able to sit down at their feet and glean from them and watch them, I mean, watch them sing on that piano.
Yeah.
It's a blessing to watch them sing.
Yeah.
I was sitting in a meeting up in LJ, Georgia. Brother J. Glass had to go to the hospital the next week, have a triple bypass, and God was in the place, and man, we was worshiping Him. And I mean, the big preacher was there, and we was just taking up a hymn. And we was sitting up on top of a little old mountain in LJ, Georgia. And Brother Glass jumps up in the middle of this service, and he said, God just came over that mountain, crossed that valley, came up into this mountain, come right through this church, and touched my heart. And because we're Baptists, we got to go get some proof from a doctor, right? I mean, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
Can't trust God. Got to have the word of a doctor. And I'm not throwing off on doctors. I thank God for them. Maybe I can get one. He'll come to church and pay tithes and offerings. Amen. Give my people some pills to make them happy and love me. That'd be a good pill. Well, Jay Glass did what Baptists would do. He went to his doctors just to get that thing checked out. Before surgery, you know, he's going to have triple bypass. Doctor said, Brother Glass, you got the heart of a 12-year-old. I don't know what's happened, son, but you don't need no bypass surgery.
Yeah. Amen.
I don't give a flip what nobody says. That's God.
Yeah, 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 man.
That ain't nothing for my God. That ain't nothing for Him. God didn't even have to wiggle an eyelash.
That's right.
Oh, my friend, God never had to even think about it, son. I promise you, that eyelash never even wiggled. Wham! Just touch Him.
Yeah.
I talked to Brother Glass 15, 20 years later after that meeting, Brother Zach. I seen him here and there, making Dale Faith Baptist. I said, Brother Glass, how's the old ticker doing? He said, well, I think I had to take a half a baby aspirin last night. She's still ticking just what the brother. Hey, man. You say, what was that? That's the effects of worship. I'm telling you, the lions have to destroy that for us.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Let's get full of God. Let's just get taken up a hill.
Amen.
Don't let the devil destroy your worship. Don't let him steal that from you. Don't let him devour that.
Right.
It has some of the greatest effects in your life that you'll ever know. Hey, listen, it ain't just getting saved and that's it.
Right.
There's a much, much better life after you get saved. I mean, just to be taken up with Him. What about walking in the Spirit and just being full of God? Yes. It's a wonderful life.
Amen.
Man.
Amen.
Get in that secret place and worship Him.
Hey.
Mm.
That's good.
I'm speaking to Philip. I'm preaching to the choir. But you get in that secret place with Him, and when the hymn shows up, you'll be in there for 3 hours.
Yes.
It seemed like 15 minutes. But if He don't show up, that 15 minutes will be like 3 hours.
Amen.
That's right.
Yes, sir.
That's right. You're telling me right, bro.
Amen.
But I've been in there a few times in the last couple of weeks. And He kissed me with the kisses of His mouth. And His love is better than wine.
Amen.
Son, I got in there the other night, Brother Zach, and that glory fell in that secret place. And I said, Lord, I don't even want to leave. I just want to stay here with you all night. Say, preacher, you're whack. I know my mama told me that when I was a little boy. We done beat you to the punch. I'm past being crazy. I just want to get in that glory. I want to worship Him. I want to dwell in the secret place. I want to be under the shadow of the Almighty.
Hey.
It's a wonderful life. It's a blessed life. There's no life like that. And the devil is out to destroy that for us.
Right.
I tell you what I am. I'm a spiteful little rascal. You may can whoop me, but I promise you I'm going to bite your nose or kneecap off in the process. You're not going to win. And if it comes down to it, old Sturm Ruger sitting down in the back seat, he'll help me. I'm going to win sooner or later. I'm going to win something. I'm going to get me something that I can, you know, praise God, I got me a badge. I got me a trophy. Look at his nose. Man, I bit it off of a guy the other day that was 8 foot tall. Had me on the ground. I was able to bite. Listen, I don't care. I'll buy another set of teeth. I'll gum him if I have to. Y'all have to brush your teeth. Bless God, I just throw mine in the wash. Get some JB Weld, man. Come back, throw them things in. I'm good. I'm going to write JB and see if it can't make menthol. Do you remember in the Songs of Solomon when he took her to the banqueting house? She said, his banner over me was love. I can't get quite to the banqueting house first. You know where they went before they got to the banqueting house? Don't let this bother you. You. Hey, you rednecks, don't let this bother you too much. You know where they went before they got to the banqueting house? They went over to them private chambers. Before God brings you out here in the public and pours Himself on you, He'll take you down there to His chambers.
Right.
You've got to spend some time in His chambers alone with Him.
That's good.
Right.
Right.
That's good.
There ain't nothing like being alone with Him.
Amen.
You know what, Brother John, it's so good about these lonely people. They don't never have to be lonely again.
Amen.
That's good.
What? My old piano player down there in Mississippi, she's an old Pentecostal woman, spent her whole life out on the mission field, and she come over there and played the piano for me, and her old body was all mangled up. She believed in Jesus. She didn't really believe in doctors. And she wouldn't go to a doctor. She just trusted God. She laid over there in hemorrhage for several days, and they said, you're going to die. She said, if I die, I'm going to be with Jesus. If God will heal me, He'll heal me. And God healed her. Another woman would play the piano, and she lost her husband. She said, Brother David, he was everything to me. She said, I love my husband. She said, but what you know, for the last 15 years, Jesus has been the greatest husband that I could ever ask for. Oh, Sister Clara McKay spent time alone at the feet of Jesus, you understand? She went down there in the secret chambers. Oh, Brother Pat McNair, a hero of mine. If you know me of any time, you're going to hear of Brother Pat. Brother Pat was on his back for 15 years, went through 15 major operations, and his wife had to get up and go to work and make a provision for that family. And old Brother Pat laying there, Sister Clara McKay come out of those chambers. Went over to Brother Pat's house and put her hands on that old precious man of God. And she prayed over him. She said, Brother Pat, in a week, God's going to raise you up. 7 days to that day, God raised that old man of God up. Oh, yeah, friend. And put him back in the pulpit. And he ministered the Lord Jesus Christ to thousands till the day he died.
Amen.
So how'd he get up? That old woman been in a secret place with Jesus.
Amen.
God using women to do some mighty things. If them women would sit at his feet.
Amen.
Right.
Amen.
Remember Brother Sammy talking about when he gets to heaven, he's going to be sitting back there in the back watching Jimmy Lou way up there in the front through a pair of binoculars. He said, I'll be so far back there, I probably won't even be able to see her. Us preachers get to stand up here, stand up in the limelight, say whatever we want to say. We get all the attention. But I tell you, these some precious old women. Thank God. They're somewhere in the shadows praying and holding up my... I got people praying. I'm not no self-made nobody. You hear me? I had a grandma that prayed me in. I had a grandma that knew God. I had a grandma that looked like a grandma, smelled like a grandma, dressed like a grandma, acted like a grandma. And she got along with my God. And she would worship Him in spirit and in truth. And God answered her prayers.
Amen. Amen.
I don't want to get off on it. I want to move on. Brother Parks, where's some of the... I'm excluding myself. I'm talking about everybody else in the world. We're some of the smartest people I've ever known. I mean, man, we go to church 1,400 times a month.
Come on,
we got more Bible than about any generation. We're really dumber than any generation I've ever known. We got more technology, more knowledge, more information, and we're dumber than... You say, preacher, why would you say that? Because if you start realizing, you start reading that Bible and you start learning stuff, you start realizing, I really am dumb.
Right.
I really don't know anything.
That's right.
I studied the second coming of the Lord for 4 years. For four solid years when I first got saved, I started studying the second coming of the Lord. 4 years after I studied it, brother, I was just as ignorant when I stopped as I was when I started. That thing just got bigger and bigger and bigger, and the more I learned, the more I realized I don't have a clue.
Right.
Let me ask y'all a question. Y'all some of the smartest people, at least you think you are. What are you doing with all that knowledge?
Right.
Are you puffing up? I know me something. I knew something. John asked with my pastor. Let me tell you something. This church has a good report. I talk to people outside of this church, and this church has a good report. There's people out in this community that notices this church. And I had a man just the other day said, look, man, one of the largest buildings in Cuba is the First Baptist Church. I go by that place down there and it's dying, it's dead. I go by that little church down there at Black Creek and that thing's thriving, the parking lot's full. Something's going on there. I'm talking about the reports of lost people.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. What are we doing with what we know?
Amen.
What are we doing with what we learn?
That's good.
Let's not let knowledge sit on the shelf, on the top shelf. Let's let the helm of the knowledge set on the top shelf.
Yeah,
because we've already, really, think about it. We've already got enough this week that if we really, really took a hold of what we got, son, we would have done blow the bobby pins out down there at the secret place. Yeah. Ladies, your hair wouldn't look so pretty this morning. You'd done blow the blue giant off the
rack.
And on top of that, Brother Zach, I thought it's good to come to a meeting where men ain't splitting hairs. And I thought last night, I wonder why all the men ain't splitting hairs. I don't like to take off and go to a meeting and men sitting in the pulpit split hairs. Then I got to looking around going, most of y'all ain't got many left to split. Yeah. It's good not to split hairs. Everybody can't be as blessed as me and Brother Ron. I believe when a man and a woman gets in that secret place and they're taken up of each other, babies are born. And I believe this. I believe that when the saints of God make love with Jesus,
yeah,
I believe babies are born.
Yeah. Come on.
What if my folks ain't getting saved?
Oh, come on.
Let me say that again for the Baptist. I said, when you get in that secret place and you make love with Jesus,
yeah,
that's 100% okay. Yeah. Intimate relationship. You and him making out in the secret place. I believe babies are born.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That bothers people. Don't bother me. I done made out with him. I hope he kisses me again this evening.
That's right.
And I'm as gun barrel straight as they come. I'll stick my tongue down my wife's throat to prove it. I hope everybody catches me getting a handful of her every once in a while. I do it on purpose, praise God, in case there's a funny fella hanging out. I want you to see me enjoy. I go to the mall. I hate the mall. I curse the mall. I go to the mall during Gay Pride Month just to pinch my wife. Amen. Amen. We might break down and start smooching right in the middle of the aisle. Amen. I want them to see a happy straight couple. Amen. God's way. I want them to see a happy couple God's way.
Amen.
Don't bother me a bit in the least for Brother McVeigh to take his wife down there to the Waffle House. Thank God Sherman's ignorant. He left the Waffle Houses in the South. Stand up in the middle of the Waffle House and proclaim your love for your wife and lay the smooch on her right there in front of her. Praise God for that. Amen. That's God's way. I ate at the Super Duper Cooper Copper Pooper yesterday. And I rejoiced. I worshiped that Sherman brought that food to the north and left our chitlins alone.
Yes, sir.
Thank God for chitlins. Pickled pig feet. It's amazing that we can do more with a hog. We've traded worship for work. I've done preach too long. You know you don't have to worship anymore. You can just hand out a gospel tract. You don't have to worship anymore. You just go knock on another door. Hey, listen, I'm all for knocking on doors.
Right.
I'm all for handing out gospel tracts. I push that. I promote that. I participate in that. I'm all for that. But I tell you, before we go out there in that public place, we're going to spend some time alone with him in the chamber.
Yeah.
That's good.
God will send you to the right door.
Yeah.
God will put that track in the right hand. If you're taking up a hymn, God will lead you, guide you, and direct you. I believe I read that somewhere in a good book. But you're going to have to get along with him to find out where that is, what that is. We don't need worship no more. We can just get us a good gospel track, and I'm all for them. But I know people that hand out gospel tracts and knock doors all day on Saturday, but they might be drunk on Friday night. I know people that's knocking on doors that practice alcohol on a regular basis. Mm. Yep. And that's who's sharing the gospel.
Yep.
I got people that leaves my church because they can't live in there and be comfortable in their sin.
Amen.
I'm not glad they're gone, Johnny. I don't want to see nobody leave.
Come on.
But I'd rather for them not to be comfortable in their sin and be able to sit in the house of God.
Right.
Sure, I don't want to be sitting in the house of God. I'd have to examine myself a little bit more if you could sit in the house of God where God's called me to pastor and you can live in sin and be comfortable, fat, dumb, and happy. God forbid!
Right.
Your church after church is out there putting them big numbers up.
Amen.
What's wrong with holiness?
Come on.
What happened to holiness in Christian living? What happened to consecration in Christian living? What's wrong with being consecrated? You can't be holy without it.
Amen.
Holiness unto the Lord. It was consecrated, buddy. We can live for Jesus today without holiness.
Right.
I want to move on. We see that lady over there sitting at the table in the Songs of Solomon. Where was the next place she saw him? She saw him through the lattice. For years, Brother Parks, I prayed, God, let me see you through the lattice. I just thought if I could just get a glimpse of him through the lattice, I'd be happy. Boy, I got to reading that Bible and I thought, that ain't no good, Brother Zyde. I don't want to see him through the lattice. I don't want to have to hear him from behind the wall. That lattice is something between me and him.
It's
what that preacher was talking about a while ago. That just means that we're near one another. Doesn't mean that we're nigh. There's lattice in between. Hey, look. When we seen her before, there wasn't no lattice there. It was just her and him face to face. Next time she done withdrew herself, he ain't going nowhere. He ain't changed. She's done with the line in her life. And now there's some lattice up. And all she can get is just bits and pieces of him. Let's get the lattice out of our lives.
Yeah.
Let's tear them walls down. Hey, it was over 30 years ago that God delivered me from the brick kilns of Egypt. And ever since God delivered me from those brick kilns, Satan's been handing me mortar and bricks. And here's what the Bible said to do. Resist the devil. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Oh no, friend, that's not what most of us do. We embrace him. We take the brick out of his hand. We get us a trowel full of mortar. We lay another brick on the wall. What is that, preacher? That's anything between me and my Savior.
Amen.
Next thing the devil wants to come in there and do is he wants to get your prayer life. The lion wants to destroy your prayer life. I believe he knows the power that's in prayer. I still believe in the power of prayer. I believe that we are products of prayer. I believe people pray for us, and that's why we're here, Brother Zach. You say, preacher, I don't have nobody pray for me. I tell you, Jesus prayed.
Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Jesus prayed. And I believe the reason we're here is because of Jesus and because of prayers and the answer to prayers. The devil wants to get in our prayer life and destroy our prayers. The Bible said, when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners and that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. When thou enterest into thy closet, When you get in that closet, shut the door. You know why we can get in that secret place and we can pray and we get to thinking about the clothes that need washing. The yard needs mowing. I better get that tool on the truck for that job tomorrow. I mean, we get in that secret place, we start praying. It's amazing how our memory comes back to us and we start remembering all these little chores and tasks and all these things that we had forgotten. Isn't that amazing? Can I be honest with you? You know why so many devils is in our secret place? Because we went in without closing the door and we left it open for the lion to come in.
Yeah, good.
Most of us pray like a bunch of sissies anyhow. Little old nice, sweet, silly prayers. 5 minutes in and we're done. For God in heaven's sakes, ain't even broke a prayer. I sweat. I get to seeing Jesus. My little old sissy prayers sometimes, I get to seeing Jesus over in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Right.
My little old sissy, boy, I really did something. I prayed. Now I can lay down with a clear conscience and go to sleep because I prayed. You little old sissy, you didn't pray, you played.
Yeah.
What's wrong with grabbing a hold of the horns of the altar? Slamming that door. Tell the devil to go to hell. And getting in there with God. And agonizing. And pouring your your soul out to God.
Yeah.
The yard can be mowed. The dishes can be washed. I tell you, Mary chose that good thing.
Yeah.
Oh, she chose to sit at the feet of Jesus. And Jesus said, I can tell you this much, Martha. I'm not going to take this away from her because this is needed more than anything. We need to get back in the secret place.
Amen.
Lions done drove us out. And then a lot of times when we go in, we just don't shut the door. We leave that door open and let them devils come with us. Got all kind of thoughts. I said a while ago now, I didn't mean to sound cocky a while ago. I meant to sound honest. I'm not tough. I can't fight. And I like to see other people do it because it hurts when people hit me. But John, Mark, a lot of times I'll get in that closet and there'll be a million thoughts comes to my mind. And I don't know what it is about me. If it's genetic or what it is, I don't know. And I don't really care. I just kind of like it at times. I'm going to pray in spite of the devil.
Yeah.
When that sucker does some of that stuff to me, you know what I try to do. And I ain't trying to put on the show. There ain't nobody there with me. I ain't got nobody to impress. There ain't no badness around. Can't show out. Can't show off. Can't impress nobody. I just pray in spite of that sucker. So what is that, preacher? I don't know. There's something on the inside of me that likes to spite it. I don't like it.
Amen.
You can get along with him. You can jee-haw with him. I don't like him. There ain't a day in my life where I get along with him. He's my enemy. He's out to destroy everything that God loves.
Yes.
I said once friends and loved ones. And man, I said once lives being destroyed. And man, we got this old flesh. And we got this world. And we got this devil. And man, I just don't want to jee-haw with none of them. I don't want to be able to get along. I like to be a monkey wrench. I ain't getting along with that. I can't compromise with that. Watching lives being destroyed. I'll get in that secret place every once in a while. Best God, if I have to, I'll run into that door wide open with my head to get it shut. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about I'll pray in spite of that sucker.
Right.
Now, hey, listen. I mean, I might have to scream out to God a little bit just to get my attention. Sometimes I have to do more than whisper just to get my attention. Because a lot of times when I'm sitting there trying to pray nice and politically correct, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I'm telling you, man, I can't even keep my own attention. So I try to get in there and hunker down with God so I can get my own attention and stay focused.
Yep. That's right.
So what are you doing, preacher? I'm trying to slam that door shut.
Right.
Get them devils out of my secret place.
Right. That's good.
Right. Bible said, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Luke 18 said, and he spake a parable unto them to this end that men ought to always pray and not to faint. I'm not proud of this. But there is a lot of churches that's dying.
Right.
There's a lot of churches in this country that's got 10, 80-plus year olds. And I'm not against any, but all they have is 10, 80-plus year olds. And in 10 years, unless God does something, there ain't going to be anybody left. And I see preachers left and right falling out. Why, Lord? What's going on? What's happening? Bible said men ought to always pray and not to faint. I tell you how you keep running well. Stay in the secret place.
Yeah.
That's what the Bible said. If you'll get in that secret place, it'll keep you from fainting.
Yeah.
Hey, be not weary in well doing. You'll reap if you faint not. How do I keep from fainting? Pray, man. Pray in the Holy Ghost.
Yeah. Right.
When's the last time you prayed in the Holy Ghost? I didn't say pray in the flesh. I said, when's the last time you got the Holy Ghost in your prayer closet?
Right. That's right.
You don't have to be loud to be in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
The greatest preacher I've ever heard preach was Joe Parsons. He never got as loud as what I am now, but had God all over him. Well, our pastor, preacher, the whole, this still small voice, sometimes it's a loud screaming voice. Sometimes it's very loud. God trying to get your attention very loud sometimes.
Right.
Glad you're looking at me like that. You brought things back. I like him. He's loud. I don't think it's the volume. I think it's the content.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
We didn't mind hitting 110 on the singing. Well, praise God. Whoa, boy, our church now. Our church, we hit the 110 mark. We got it going. That preacher, bless God, he hit 75. You shouldn't preach that loud.
Come on, man.
Right.
Come on. Amen.
I think everybody don't like my loud preacher probably. I'm going to leave it. I'll wait till they come back and testify. Here's what the psalmist said. He said, I waited patiently on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. I like this, Brother Parks. He said, many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. I believe salvation's visible.
Yeah.
I believe spending time alone with God is visible.
Yeah.
Ah, come on now, preacher. You go argue with Moses and the children of Israel.
That's right.
Moses spent 40 days up there with God, come back, glory of God all over him. Hey, they couldn't even look at him. Whoa, man, let's put a veil on him. That glory's on him. When was the last time anybody thought they needed to put a veil on any of us?
Yeah.
Right.
Uh-oh. That was the Old Testament, I know. And the same God that did it in the Old Testament is the same God that'll do it in 2023 if we're willing to pay the price to get in the glory. Amen. If you're willing to pay the price, God will dump it on you, friend. We just ain't willing to pay the price.
Right. That's what it is. Good.
Ain't willing to get up on that mountain for 40 days, spend it alone with God to get in that glory. That little touch that you had last night, that little sip, that thimbleful.
Yeah.
God took a little thimble and popped a little drop out on you and let you taste a little bit of that. You know, you can get into that, into an overflow life.
Yes, sir.
You can live in that. You can live in that glory. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Brother Sam used to talk about this stuff, and people talking about you're so heavenly minded that you're no earthly good. I don't think we'll ever have to worry about that. I have 56 years. I've never met one person that was so heavenly minded. Brother Sammy was one of the most glorious living men that I've ever known. He was not so heavenly minded. He was no. He was plenty of earthly good. But he was good for the kingdom of God. It might not have helped IBM a whole lot, but it sure did help Jesus out a little bit. The Lord sure appreciate it. The Lord take it, amen. He did it for the glory of God anyhow. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things pass away, behold, all the... Do what? He said, behold. You mean there's something I can see in a saved man's life?
Come on, man.
Wonder why he told me to behold it. Wonder why the Lord told me, hey, look and see. Man, there's something different about him. He talks different. What is that? Listen, man, here's what I've been praying. Lord, help me be more like you. Ain't that deep? Y'all want something deep? Let me tell you something deep. God is love. Now, be careful. You're liable to drown to death in that. Everybody wants something deep. You'll drown in the steeping kiddie pool.
Right.
We drown in the kiddie pool of God's grace. Are you kidding me? Want something deep. Oh, man, we want something deep. I'm telling you, bless God, you'll drown in toe-deep water. We can't handle the things of God. It's way bigger than we ever dreamed.
Right.
God just every once in a while let it get in, waters to swim in. Preacher, what you doing? Every once in a while I just get in there and get to doing the freestyle. It gets real good. I get to doing the backstroke. I mean, if I get to feeling real good, even at 56 years old, I get to doing the butterfly. You say, what is that, preacher? Just getting in that glory. Man. Just jumping in, Miss Amber. Got real quiet because people don't know nothing about it. It don't bother me, bless God. I preach to a dead church every time I preach. It don't bother me a bit. Don't nobody. I told my country, I said, bless God, y'all go up there to Black Creek and start shouting, I'm going to be plumb mad. I'm going to throw a song in there. Carl had a song book in my hand the other night. He started shouting a little bit. I said, I'm going to have my head in.
I was worried about it, too.
Good. Amen. Praise God. I got the best people on planet Earth.
You got the best pastor.
You got that right. Most people just want everything without sacrificing anything. They want to be used of God without having to pay the price. I'm going to give you this one. I said the other day, boy, if they give us 30 minutes to preach, I'm going to preach 5 minutes because it takes me at least 25 to stop. Bible says in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives. Even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, I believe the lion wants to destroy. I believe he wants to destroy our homes. That's where my heart is, Brother Michael. It's in our homes. I love the home. I thank God for the home. I believe in fighting for the home.
Yes.
Man. That report that man gave this morning on that condition of that marriage in his home, it tears me up.
Yes.
Jesus has a much better way.
That's right.
That's how it ought to be. But instead today, listen, what we've got is in 2 Timothy 3:1-5, this know also that in the last days perilous times have come, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, foolish breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but deny the power thereof, from such turn away. Here's what's going on in our homes today. Men's lost interest in their wives. Everywhere. And it's a sad, sad day when a man loses interest in his wife.
Right. Oh, that's for sure, brother. Yes, sir.
I don't have to work this up. My wife can stand up here and I'll leave the building and I feel comfortable. My wife just, I've never got tired and over my wife.
Right. Amen. Amen.
She's still the apple of my eye.
Amen.
She still makes my ankles crack when she walks by. You're looking at one old boy, look at me and my God-given eyeballs. You're looking at one old boy that's not a lover of himself.
Uh-huh.
These men turned against their wives and they started making love to themselves.
Uh-huh.
I'm talking about a wicked, perverted society, friend, when a man's got a woman laying next to him and she doesn't interest him.
Right. Right.
He knows how to please himself now.
That's right. Come on.
Right. You say, what's happened, preacher? I'm telling you what's happened. The lion's been got in our homes.
Right.
He don't stop with mom and dad. He's not happy with just mom and dad. He's wanting our children too.
Right.
I got children that's going to hell today. And it's a constant grief. It's a constant burden. Because they was raised in the house of God. They was raised under the King James Bible. And I messed up every which way possible. 1,000 mistakes every day of my life. And boy, how they're magnified today. But there was enough gospel preached into their life for them to live for Jesus all the days of their life.
Right.
They had to make a decision because I got one sitting right back here that lived in the same house. and he got born again.
Right.
Amen. Same daddy, same mama, same rules, same standards, same mistakes. But he's sitting in Black Creek. The devil's after our children.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Not preaching nothing new. Brother John, for some reason, people think they fly under the radar. Number one, I think everybody's wicked besides me. Sir's wicked. Yeah, she's wicked.
Right.
Hey, sister. Sorry, rascal. Right. People come in, man, come in church. They got the Lamb of God on the outside. He's supposed to be on the inside.
Yeah.
Right.
Blood went on the doorpost.
Yeah.
If you don't do it God's way, it ain't getting done.
That's right.
The Lamb's on the outside, you'll die and go to hell.
That's right.
Yeah. That's right.
If you put any water in that blood, you're gonna die and go to hell.
Amen.
They come in here and their head's square like a monitor. So I'm talking about perverts. I'm talking about people sitting around, bless God, looking at their phones and their computers and lovers of themselves. I've got girls here. And they may not realize it, but I realize it for them because I'm their pastor. They're not here for no boy. They're here for Jesus.
Amen.
They may not realize that, but I realize it for them.
That's right. That's it.
Oh, let me look at y'all. They're not here for no boy.
Amen.
Hey, Blame sure ain't here for none of you ugly mugs.
Y'all smell them here.
You? Stand up. Stand up, Isaiah. You and you are the only decent looking ones in the whole crowd. But if any one of y'all pick up any one of my girls, y'all moving to West Virginia. I'd like for my girls to come up here and see the Lord Jesus this week.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
I'll give a flip if they smell neither one of y'all. In fact, don't even look at them. Don't even look at none of my girls.
Amen.
It's good for a man not to touch a woman for God's sake.
Right.
Don't dare touch one.
Right.
That's exactly.
Hey, listen, girls. If anybody ever touches you,
come on.
I mean anybody ever touches you, you know what I'm talking about, inappropriately, any kind of way, sensual, you let me know. I want you to understand something. You ain't done one thing wrong. Hey, look at me. I don't care if you're flirting. He has no right to touch you.
That's right.
Man told me one day, he said, what would you do? She come around here wearing her little short shorts, shaking her little, her behind. What would you do? I said, I'd stomp her hind end before I touched it. It's your house. What in the name of God are you letting her run around? If that's going to bother you, where you think you got to put your hands on her thighs, what's wrong with you?
Come on.
I see women in short shorts every day. I don't put my hands on them.
Right.
I see a woman in a dress or a skirt at the house in the kitchen. I put my hands all over her. Can't keep my hands off of her.
Amen.
We're married. That's okay.
Amen.
It's blessed by God. It's okay. God's pleased with that. That's okay.
Amen.
It shouldn't nobody never touch it. I don't care. You ain't done nothing wrong. You let somebody know. You don't have to feel guilty. You don't have to. Hey, listen. My son was preaching up here Thursday night, and I got to listen to it the other day. And he got real quiet, Brother Michael. He made a statement somewhere along the lines of this. He got real quiet, and I'm glad he did. When it got quiet, I got mad. I said, they should be shouting right there.
Yeah.
But in that quietness, I heard that still small voice and said, hey, they might be a brother there touching a sister. I said, when he got real quiet, there was a still small voice said to me, they might be a brother up there touching a sister. Hey, listen, sisters, they should never, no brother ever be able to take a peek at you. Never! Never should your brother be able to take a peek through the bathroom door, in the bedroom door. Never should your brother be able to put his hands on you. Never should anybody be able to violate you. Run! Hey, praise God. That's what I told my girl, Kimberly. I said, praise God, grow your fingernails out about 2 inches long. Get a fingernail file, file them things down to a real sharp point, and dig their eyeballs out of their head. And run for hell, amen. But you should say, I stand by it still today.
That's right.
Amen.
They should nobody ever touch you little girls.
Right.
That's right.
I'm as serious about this kind of stuff going on in our homes. I'm telling you, the line has done crept into the homes. There's all kind of incest and everything that you can imagine. Bestiality, dear God, it's unreal. Say, preacher, you shouldn't say stuff like that. They're not making millions of dollars, bless God, because preachers is blowing it out. They're making millions of dollars because nobody's standing up anymore.
Right.
That's
right.
Right.
Some things to me is worth going to jail for.
Come on, preacher.
That's it, brother.
Wow.
Some things just going to work, worth going to jail for. Some things just worth three hots in a cot. It's God, it's my turn for a while now. I took care of I don't know how many inmates for all these years. Let me go get some meals. 12 people on the east side of Winston benefiting from me working every day. Healthier than I am. Can run faster, jump higher. The boys come in, got them eyes wandering. I've seen them come in my church before, Johnny. Got them wandering eyes. Them eyes just floating around in their head like a bunch of weirdos. You can spot them out.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And they got that attitude. These women want to jump my bones.
Come on, preacher.
Are you stupid? You disgusting pig. There ain't a decent woman this side of hell that wants anything to do with you, much less jump a bone. You kidding me? They sit around and look at this old stupid stuff and defile herself, and then they walk out of that little old grungy dungeon and think, oh, she wants me. No, she don't. Let's reality check. She don't want you.
Come on.
You're a disgusting pig. She don't want you.
Amen.
Your mama pays your light bill. She don't want you.
Amen.
Come on.
Got time to sit around and do all this nasty stuff. Dear God in heaven, won't you get up and work some overtime? These missionaries has got needs. You got so much free time. Why don't you work an extra job and take on another missionary somewhere? Promote and further the gospel of Jesus Christ if you got so much free time.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. My
goodness. Come in church, bless God, with them old wandering eyes looking for some girl. I think church is a wonderful place to find a girl. But I tell you, first of all, it's a wonderful place to run head in the head with Jesus.
Amen.
Let's get God on this thing first.
Amen.
Quit looking for the one. I told my church, I told the people, quit looking for the one and just be the one. And God will send you the right helpmate. I'm trying to shut up, Brother McVeigh, and I know how. Just stop. Brother John, I found out, and I've been thinking about it for about 2 weeks. God give me a helpmate that's really good at things I stink at.
Yeah. Amen.
Oh, yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Where I'm really, really bad and where I really struggle, I noticed that my helpmate is really, really good at it. I can go down there to the gun shop and I can buy me a gun, and I walk out and they didn't give me the receipt in the back. And I'm not, hey, forget it, man. The gun can blow up tomorrow. I'm not gonna worry about it. You know, listen, I don't need the receipt. I don't need the warranty. I don't wanna go back in there. It hurts my pride to go back in there. Well, my wife, where's the receipt? What if there's a problem? What if the gun jams and doesn't ever unjam? I said, honey, we'll just throw it at a criminal. Oh, no. She's going back in that store. She comes out 30 minutes later. She's got a receipt. She's got a gun. She's got two packs of bullets. And I start clearing out the back seat going, praise God, man. We're going to love for a while. I wouldn't have never went back in there. I mean, one time I got a nail in my tire. She went to get the tire fixed. Supposed to be under warranty. She come home with a new Lexus. How did she do that? She's very good at what I'm not. I told her two or three times, honey, I feel like the bank done me wrong. You reckon you can go down there and get us a couple million? I believe if she tried, she'd go in there to the bank and convince them that they shorted me $2 million on my paycheck. Believe that. I don't have that about me. But here's what happens. If we'll just be patient and wait on the Lord and be the right one, God will give us that one. And she's been one of the best mamas to my children. I know she's lost, Brother Zach, for about most of your life. But I promise you one thing, son. She took care of you.
Right.
Even as a lost mama. She nurtured y'all and took care of y'all and met your needs and fed y'all. And she done everything that she could. You see, what? Well, even as a lost woman,
right,
she was a tremendous shot in the arm.
That's right.
Amen.
Thank God.
Brother John, if I would have known, now that's that talk. If I would have known, you got to watch Gunsmoke to translate me. If I would have known that it would have been this good, I'd have got her saved 30 years ago. See, for about 30 years, Timmy, we was heading in different directions. She was heading to hell, I was heading to heaven. That bothers some people. I was pastoring, you know, running my thing. Oh, man, I was doing my thing, preaching. My wife would go with me. She'd jump in there. She'd grab her King James Bible. She'd put on her nice little dress, her nice little skirt, and beautiful little blouse. And she was all prettied up. I mean, she'd come up in there looking like a little Southern belle. And man, just go home. And I'm telling you, her heart, I could hear it sometimes right in the room. Her heart was going, you say, what was it? Oh, she's trying to live for Jesus while on her way to hell.
Right.
Fighting me all along the way. Ruining everything that she could. You say, what was that? The lion just found him an avenue. You say, you're dogging your wife? No, friend. Don't misunderstand that. I'm just telling you, the lion used her as an avenue to get into our home. I got a son sitting right back here. I'd be more than glad to let him stand up and testify. Things that we seen. Hey, look at me and my God. Don't tell me what your stinking mom and daddy done.
Amen.
Right.
Amen. That's good.
I kept Pella in business for 30 years. The window company, Pella. We busted out more windows, bless God, than Pella can manufacture. Get mad at me, I'd grab a jug of Clorox and throw it slam through a window. We bust phones, bust windows, bust cars, busted everything. Say, what was it? We was going in a different direction. It was chaos! Chaos! Preacher, what'd you do? I prayed. Preacher, what'd you do? I worshiped him. Preacher, what'd you do? I stayed with God. Preacher, what'd you do? I looked at her and told her how wicked and vile and miserable she was. And there's a lot of preachers' wives that I know today that outside their husband, they ain't got no righteousness.
That's right.
Outside of their dresses and skirts, there's no righteousness. There's no burden for lost people. It's easier for them to look down their nose at the heathen as it is to have a burden for them. What kind of righteousness is that? I'll tell you what it is. It's self-righteousness.
Yeah, right.
When's the last time, preacher's wife, you had a real burden for a sinner? I'm talking about a real burden. One of them that kept you up at night. One of them that ruined your appetite. One of them that opened the floodgates in your eyes. And you just wept over them. And you carried that burden for weeks and months. And you prayed. When's the last time? Say, preacher, that's wild. I know that's what the lion has crept in. And he's encouraged us to believe. But it's a lie out of hell. Right. It's the kind of burdens we ought to be carrying for these lost folks.
Right.
Right. You carry that kind of a burden, not like I should, not nowhere near like I should. But I'd be a hypocrite, Brother Parks, if I didn't spend a fair share of time on my face before Him over these lost people.
Amen.
Right.
That's right, brother. So, preacher, you talking about your children? Yes. And I'm talking about some that ain't my children. I got people in my church that's going to hell. Miss Tanya, it tears me all to pieces. I want them to be saved more than anything in this world.
Amen.
And I don't want them just to be saved. I want them to live a spirit-filled life.
Amen.
There's so much more.
Amen.
Getting saved is just the start.
Right. Yes.
Man, that whole race that you can run with patience that God has set before you. Listen, friend, you don't have. You get saved. You get saved and you get in that secret place and you worship Him. You don't have to worry about what God wants you to do.
Right.
You'll be so busy you ain't got time to think about other things. Just get in that secret place and let God stir you up a little bit. Get in there and worship Him. Get in there and plug in. Grab a hold of the horns of the altar. I promise you, you'll have some direction from God. Chasing the will of God all over the stinking world. I'll tell you where you'll find the will of God. I get my marching orders out of that secret place. I don't move until I get them.
Right.
I'm not coming to New York to find the will of God. Right. We'll find the will of God before I come to New York.
Yeah.
I pray about coming to this meeting. I love y'all. I love that man. I love this man. I love these brothers in the Lord. I've been praying for y'all for months and months to be in that unction, to get in that glory. God poured out on them when they preach. Give them the words to preach. I mean, for months I've been praying for Brother Zach. If God don't want me here, I don't want to be here.
Right.
I just stay at home and pray for them.
Right.
I'm shutting up. The line. You gonna let him? You gonna let him have it? Don't let him have it. Don't let him have your worship.
Right.
Don't let him have your prayer life. Don't let him have your home. Wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands. I wonder why we have so much problems with these women submitting to their husband. Mm-hmm. They've never submitted to God. Brother Ron Williams, help me. If I'm right, you say amen. If I'm wrong, I want you to say can't. So people can't tell the difference. Brother Ron Williams, help me. Sir, ma'am, a love and respect will go a long ways. That woman needs your love.
Right.
Ma'am, that man needs your respect. But sir, if you'll love her like she ought to be, and you'll show it to her, she'll respect you. And man, if you'll show him that respect, he'll love you.
That's
right. It'll go a long ways.
Yeah. Right.
Just love and respect each other.
Right.
Just love and respect each other. It helps me and my wife a whole lot. Just want to give her love. My boy told me last night, he said, Dad, another rocky relationship. I said, son, there ain't nothing going to work but Jesus.
Amen.
Ain't nothing going to work but Jesus. I said, you can go through the whole laundry list of them. And so when you get done, absolutely, it's just going to be empty and vain and void. It's going to be no good. So if you'll meet Jesus,
amen,
and start your journey at the foot of that cross, God will change your life. It don't have to be like it is. Don't let the devil have it. God says, give it to Jesus. Father, thank you for this time. If you can use it, Lord, for your honor and glory. I pray you do in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sister Stephanie, come on up here a second.